as we look at this real story about real people, real places, and real events. But before we get started, it's time to play a game called Fact or Fiction. And we've all seen the game shows, right? So we're going to switch mics, right, Ethan? Yeah, I don't want to get a double feed here. All right, but I need your help as the studio audience. So when I say it is time for, your job is to say, we have to have the slide up, fact or fiction, right? Just like a good studio audience. So let's try it. It's time for
fact or fiction.
And our first contestant today is Darren Steinman. Come on up. Come on down, come on down. Now, we've got a gift card here for you to win today. It's not as much as we'd like it to be, but it is a decent one. So, let's play this game of
fact or fiction.
All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a statement about Christmas, and you're going to tell me if this is fact or fiction. So, let's bring up our first question. Replacing the word Christ with an X is a modern way to shorten the word Christmas or an attempt to take Christ out of Christmas. Is this fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact. What is the answer? Fiction. Oh, sorry, Darren. The X actually, and if you read in your Christmas tree, you'll see that X comes from the Greek letter chi. And together with the letter P, which is the word rho, it stands for Cairo or Christo. So dating back as early as the 1500s, some people may think earlier than that, but it actually was a way to say Christmas. So there was an actual Chaimais, which was Greek for Christmas. All right, so let's do our next one. So here's our next question. The song popularly known as Jingle Bells was originally called One Horse Open Sleigh and was written in the 1850s remembering the fall season in Massachusetts. Fact or fiction? He's like, this is a trick question. I know there's something here.
Can I get a lifeline?
Does the audience want to help?
Fact.
Fact. We hear more facts than fiction. So what is our answer? Fact. There is no mention of Christmas or any other holiday in this song. The author was actually in Georgia when he wrote this, in hot Georgia, missing the cold fall celebrations of his hometown in Massachusetts. It is believed that the song was first sang at Thanksgiving in his brother's church. But some people debate that because the lyrics for that time were very racy because the lesser known verses is about picking up girls, drag racing on snow, and having a high-speed crash. All right, so we got one more question here for Darren. So let's bring that one up. The song White Christmas, made popular by Bing Crosby, is the most recorded Christmas song in history. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
Fact. What do you guys say?
Fact.
Fact. Oh, what is our answer? Fiction. It's kind of a trick question, though. White Christmas has been recorded over 128,000 times, while the song Silent Night has been recorded 137,000, making it the most recorded Christmas song. But when you look at pure sales, the single White Christmas is not only the number one selling Christmas song, it is the number one single of all time in terms of sales, but not quantity. That is a trick question. Darren, you get a prize anyways. Thank a gift you. Card for Grubhub. Well, let's talk about fact or fiction when it comes to the biblical story of Jesus. I think Christmas has become a lot of things to people. But I think the real story behind Christmas has gotten lost. Christmas for many is about nostalgia. In fact, we were driving on our way to a restaurant yesterday with her parents, and there was a beautiful old 1940s pickup truck in it, and it was red and had the steak side and had the Christmas tree in the back. And we're like, isn't that the perfect memory of Christmas, right? We think of perfect Christmases involving snow, a fireplace, a fine dinner with family. We want to see multiple generations interacting together, from grandparents telling stories to the grandkids opening up presents. And we want to see everybody smiling and laughing. And while that is all a great memory, often our memory is more focused on Santa than it is on Jesus. I think we forget that the birth of Jesus is not a fairy tale. It is not a fictional story. The birth story of Jesus was about real people, real places, and real events. And as we begin this sermon series about Advent and the family story of Jesus, we need to examine, what do we really believe about Jesus? There are dozens upon dozens of scriptures that affirm who Jesus was. We all know this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I think to really appreciate who Jesus is, we have to understand that he was both divine and human, meaning he was both God and human. Now, the theology of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is very complicated. And we often do see Jesus as God's Son. And while this does partially explain who Jesus is, it sometimes leads us to believe that Jesus began his existence at the time of his earthly birth. But at the beginning of the Gospel of John, John tells us this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And what we learn about Jesus is that he is a divine being that has always existed along with God, and that through Jesus, everything was made. But here is the real miracle. Later on, down in verse 14, he writes this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The birth of Jesus Christ is one of the holy mysteries of the Bible. The whole conception through the Holy Spirit with Mary, and that Jesus became flesh. He was born as a baby. Paul writes this to the Philippians, that Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, when you get down into the deep parts of our faith, everything about our faith as Christians fall apart if we do not believe that Jesus was both divine and human. Because all the arguments for salvation, for the Old Testament, how it all comes together, is hinged on the fact that Jesus is both divine and human. If he wasn't, then his life, his death, and his resurrection has no meaning. This was so crucial to our faith that it was put into the Apostles' Creed. We read this earlier. This is a statement of faith. This is what we are supposed to believe. To believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And the fact that we believe Jesus was truly Jesus, that he truly came from God, that he came from Mary, was further defined in what we call the Nicene Creed. And this creed is similar. It's kind of the expanded version of the Apostles' Creed. Because in the early church, there was a lot of people that after the first generations of apostles passed away, and then all of their helpers who knew them firsthand started to pass away. Now we're on third-hand stories, right? You know what happens to third-hand stories? They start to change. You can have an argument over Christmas with one of your siblings. Do you remember when you pushed me down the stairs? I didn't push you down the stairs. You fell down the stairs. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody who still has that argument with their sister. But people start to remember things differently, right? People start to talk about things. People start to have arguments. And all of these beliefs started to branch out about who Jesus was, who God was. What is it about our faith that is important? And the council of all known churches got together, and they had arguments and debates, and they fought together to come to these conclusions to say the only way that the life of Jesus Christ and everything he taught us makes sense is if we believe these things. And the Apostles' Creed wasn't quite enough to tell us everything, so they expanded to what we know as the Nicene Creed. And in that creed, it tells us very important things that are core roots of our faith. It says, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. I'm going to pause there for a second because theology class, let me tell you how hard this is. It's very, very deep. But to understand that Jesus was not created by God, he was a part of God and has always been a part of God, eternally, forever. And it continues that through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. Part of God that we call his Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, came to the Virgin Mary, was conceived in her womb, and he was born of the same flesh that we are born. And these are our foundational beliefs as Christians. It doesn't matter if you were raised Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Brethren, EUB, whatever. We have to believe that Jesus was a real person that came to us directly from God. It is not fiction. It is a fact that Jesus was born to a real family with real roots, with a real history. But the beauty of this means that we can have a real connection with Jesus. And these verses are the key verses to our study and to our sermon series. Carl read this earlier from Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Jesse was the father of King David. Jesse was from the tribe of Judah, one of the 12 sons of Israel. Israel was Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. Jesus came from the real lineage of the covenant. Jesus is real. And the season of Advent is about preparation and the anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ. I want you to ask yourself, fact or fiction? Jesus was a real person with a real family with real roots. I want you to think about Jesus was real. This isn't a cute little nativity story. This isn't something out of a children's book. Not something created by Walt Disney. Not some made-up tradition that was passed on through generations. Jesus was a real person with a real family, with real roots. And as we prepare to come to the day that we celebrate his birth, we have to ask yourselves, how will you receive Jesus this year? Will this just be a story? Will Jesus be the one who was born Savior of not just this world, but will he be the Savior of your world? And that is the question that we have today. Today we begin the preparation of receiving Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who came to us in the form of a small baby. How will you receive Jesus this year? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, as we look at the preparations for your son's birth, so many times we have heard the stories, but so many times they have become legends or fables in our minds. But Lord, you sent to us a real person to become a real Savior, a person that would die for our sins. Lord, may we receive Jesus this year into our hearts as something that is real and meaningful. Be with us during this Advent season. May it be a transforming time for each of us. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It had been about 400 years since the last prophet had spoke. And as they sat under the oppressed rule of the Romans, they must have asked themselves, century after century, where is God? Where is our Savior? Where is the Messiah? Where are all the things that were promised to us? And then one day in a little town, born to a young girl and a scared father, was given to us the greatest gift ever given to mankind. But for that gift to be real, for us to receive that gift, we have to believe that this story is fact and not fiction. Because I want this to be a season of joy for you when we get to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I want this to be a time where just as the shepherds came and left praising God, the same way the angels in the heavens opened up in song. For what a glorious moment it was. To have a God who loved us so much that he would send his very being, his only son, to us to be our Redeemer, to be our Savior. Because we can have a life beyond the darkness. We can have a life beyond the threat of death. That we can live a life knowing of the great gift that waits for us on the other side. May this truly be a season of preparation and joy for you. May you realize that we serve a real God who gave us a real Son, who gave us a real salvation. May this Advent be transforming for all of us. Let us receive God's word in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.